Welcome to the lecture series of Public Theology, a cooperation of the Berlin Institute for Public Theology, the Beyersnaude Center for Public Theology, and the Lutheran World Federation.
My name is Nico Koopman. I'm based at Stellenbosch University in South Africa, and it is a pleasure to share some time with you, and specifically to share my journey with you, my journey as a public theologian, my journey in doing public theology. I can say I'm doing public theology from my mother's lap and my father's knee. In our family, the practices of the Christian tradition were very important. We worship together. We were doing diaconate together. We witnessed together. We celebrated God's goodness together. We practiced koinonia, communion. We were engaged in catechesis, and I can say in okodome, building up the church, building up the church in the form of the small nuclear family and extended family. We practiced hospitality together. We were engaged in a quest for ethical living together. We mourned together as family. We celebrated together. We got to know God as the God of all facets of life. Stanley Auerbach, the American theologian, described God as the God of his pots and pans and genitals. And my mom would add to that list, he's also the God who helps to calm my neighbors' barking and noisy dogs who keep me out of sleep. So God involved in all facets of life, the God of all publics. Yes, in the house of my parents, I learned in apartheid South Africa that I am not inferior because of my skin color, because of my socioeconomic and related condition, because of my gender. So from my mother's lap and my father's knee, I'm on this journey. From the church in the small village in which I grew up and where I learned about life together, where I learned I belong, therefore I am, where I enjoyed baptismal communion, that wonderful experience that I didn't only belong to my biological parents, but to the whole church and to the whole village. And there I learned also about discipline, the life of rhythm, the life of routine, of ritual, of regularity. The type of life that nurtures in you a habitus, virtue, tendencies, inclinations to be and to act in a specific way. I learned about the habitat, not only habitus, these habits, these virtues, but also habitat, safe spaces. I grew up in a small town in the central parts of South Africa called Lime Acres, and it's really a habitat that I experienced there, a space of safety within which life can flourish. And there I engage in different handlungen, activities. So I always call it the triple H of my little village: habitus, habitat, and handlungen, actions, decisions with which you can live. But I also grew up in the context of primary school. And there I also experienced being nurtured in public theology. There, teachers tried to build knowledge, to nurture values and skills, to reach specific outcomes. And especially they taught us about excellence, about doing the best in terms of your capacities. And in high school in Kimberley, the diamond city of South Africa, in the central parts of South Africa, in high school, I learned a lot about a diversity of perspectives. I learned to cherish diversity, of ideas and perspectives, diversity of colors, color groups, cultural groups, also diversity of religion. I remember when we celebrated our school's 130th birthday a few years ago, I was one of the guest speakers then, Kimberly, and then our old principal was there, a Muslim person, and we were together worshiping, and I remember still, he passed on in the meantime, how Mr. Hunter told me, Nico, we must together drink from the thousands of years of religious wisdom, moral wisdom. We owe the world this wisdom. And he made me think of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who said, we owe the world good theology. I also do public theology from the days of the University of the Western Cape, where I did all my training. We practiced Reformed theology in ecumenical context, in the context of liberation. And I must say, I think I was formed by the logic of the Confession of Belhar, a confession that was adopted in 1986, and a confession which told us in its preamble that God calls us together and God has a communal vocation for us. Article 1 of the confession, which says, God makes us one. He calls us into unity and togetherness, but for a purpose, so that we can together seek reconciliation. Article 2 says, reconciliation and an end of alienation and discrimination and dehumanization, so that we can together seek, Article 3, compassionate justice, especially justice for the most vulnerable. And then Belhar concludes with this confession, Jesus Christ is Lord, and we know he's Lord of every square inch of the universe. With the Belhar logic, I grew up at university, and it forms till today my theology. I did my master's degree, I wrote under the supervision of colleague Dirkie Smit, and I researched the notion of God and suffering. I was in a congregation in Atlantis while I was writing this thesis. In that congregation, my first congregation as a young pastor, and I reflected on the presence of God amidst vulnerability and suffering. And then also under the supervision of Dirkie Smit and the co-supervision of the Free University ethicist Hans Reinders, I did my doctoral work on modern and postmodern approaches to moral living. So part of my study time for the doctoral dissertation I spent at the Free University in Amsterdam. I did public theology till now in the context of local and global church partners. And I'm nurtured by that old formula of Prosper of Aquitaine, a student of Augustine. He taught us about the lex orandi, the rule of worship, that determines also the lex credendi, that is the rule of faith. And that determines also the lex vivendi, the rule of life, and the lex convivendi, the rule of life together. So worship and what we believe and how we live and how we live together are intermingled. So my theology is formed from worship within the church. And the church then as institutional church, the church with its worship services, the congregations, the denominations, and the ecumenical church, but also the church as organism, as individuals in their normal daily roles and callings, and also as individuals in their voluntary initiatives. In all these forms, the church form me and enable me and nurture me and guide me in doing public theology. So I do it from the church, with the church, for the church, and therefore sometimes also against the church. I did public theology from local and global theology partners at South African institutions in the circle of the Theological Society of South Africa, with other African countries, scholars from other African countries, from Europe, from Britain, from Asia, from Oceania, from Southern America, from the United States, from Canada, and also from local and global academic partners. I specifically with those in the so-called alpha sciences, the beta sciences, in the gamma sciences, from a universe of knowledges, interdisciplinary work, transdisciplinary work, and focusing on different sectors of society, political life, economic and ecological life, focusing on public discourse, on public opinion formation. So in an interdisciplinary way, transdisciplinary, but also specifically direct engagement with different spheres of life. I want to share with you in the concluding part of my presentation some topologies that is for me important in doing public theology. Firstly, public theology is about the inherent public nature and contents of faith, firstly. Secondly, it's about the inherent public rationality and reasonability of faith. And thirdly, public theology is about the inherent public meaning and public significance and public consequences and implications and the public impact of faith. And it's interesting to see those in theology who some of them would focus more on the contents of faith, others more on the rationality of faith, and others more interested in what's the impact of faith. And I think we must try to do all three. Reflect consistently about the public nature of faith, the public rationality, the public impact and meaning of faith. For me, Christian public theology is specifically theology that is threefold. And here I derive from the threefold office of Christ the notion of Christ is anointed to be prophet, to be priest, and to be royal servant. And we, as those who are united with Christ through faith, through grace, through baptism, we are called to do prophetic public theology, priestly public theology, royal servant public theology. A few words on a prophetic public theology. Over the years, I've developed five modes of prophetic theology. The first one is prophecy as envisioning. Secondly, prophecy as criticism, including self-criticism. Prophecy as storytelling. Prophecy as technical analysis. Prophecy as engagement in policy formation. So often we think when we talk prophetic, we reduce it to criticism and envisioning, but it includes storytelling, stories of the pain of people, but also of the healing of people. Prophecy as being involved in scientific analysis, and prophecy as being engaged in that very complex journey of policy making and policy implementation. And it is prophetic faith that enable us to do prophetic public theology. Faith in search of truth, faith in search of justice. So just a few words on priestly public theology. This is the theology, the approach where we focus on healing practices, reconciling practices, on our presence in the world amidst vulnerability. This is the approach in public theology where we decontaminate sacrifice discourse, where we focus on the sacrificial love of God in Christ that heals a broken world. Here we talk about overcoming different forms of alienation, like racism is one form of alienation. And there I also use a threefold topology, which says racism and sexism, homophobia, classism, is on the one hand, conscious and mostly subconscious prejudice. That's one dimension. The second dimension is the embodiment of these prejudices in societal and institutional structures and also in power relations. And thirdly, racism is mostly meaning-giving frameworks that legitimize prejudices and structures. So to overcome these discriminations and dehumanizations, it's important that we conscientize ourselves about the subconscious prejudices that are embodied in our structures and that are even legitimized by hidden beliefs, by subconscious meaning-giving frameworks. In the struggle years in South Africa, struggle against apartheid, we said we need to conscientize, we need to organize, and we need to mobilize. And Priestly Public Theology is doing that .com, I call it nowadays, conscientize, organize, mobilize. And the love of the priest is a transformative love and a revolutionary love. Royal Servant Public Theology implies that we say we nurture faithful discipleship and responsible citizenship. We nurture ethical citizenship and leadership. And we nurture royal servant hope, realistic hope that rests in the reality of the presence of the resurrected and risen Christ. Responsive hope that proactively respond to the challenges of our day. And resilient hope which says, you can stretch me, you can stress me, but I shall not be broken. Let me conclude. In a time like this, we're doing public theology. This is the time of, let me call it the time of the seas, of COVID, of cancer and other diseases, of condemnation and annihilation, time of combat. Time of crime and cruelty and corruption, time of concerns that are intensified, a time of concerns that are new. And this is a time of faith, hope, and love that facilitate our journey from Tina, the Tina option. There is no alternative. This is the only reality that's possible. To the Tania option, Tania, which means there are new and imaginative alternatives. Public theology is driven by this love, by this faith, by this hope. The new is possible. And together with you, in different parts of the world, I would like to continue this journey to a world where everyone enjoy the life of justice, peace, and joy. Thank you for your attention.